All right, everybody, welcome. Praise the name of Jesus, and welcome to A Cup with Pastor, where we talk about Jesus, and we also talk about coffee. We enjoy the, you know, we have coffee, and or depending on what you drink, because usually we have some that drink, they drink like tea, hot tea, or they, some of you just drink water, but me, you know, the Lord had given me this to put into a podcast live stream series. And so I want to say thank you for tuning in. I know that we'll have a few more start jumping on. I see you, Sister Clarissa. God bless you. Thanks for jumping on. I know it was a little delayed, everybody, but we had a little bit of technical difficulties earlier today. But praise God, we got through it. And so you are watching and listening to A Cup with Pastor. We also recorded this and place it for a podcast only, so where people are able to listen to it audio with Audible and audio. So, but anyways, so what are y'all drinking? God bless you, Brother Hernandez. Good to see you, my brother. What are y'all drinking today? You guys got some cafecito, as Brother Miguel would say it in the chat there, cafecito? Or do you got, you know, I got this cup right here. I got me a Y'all Palo Duro Canyon, Texas, when I took my trip with my family down to Amarillo. So I've used this cup before on the show here, but it's, you know, I like it. It's small. It's not too big. And it has a, you know, some nice colors to it, but it says like y'all, like the Texas thing. Can y'all see it? By the way, what do y'all think of this new camera? It's a pretty cool, it's supposed to be like a 4K camera. I don't know. It's a webcam, by the way, but it's, I think it gives us a little bit more definition of, you know, of everything that I do have. And I am working on, you know, getting this a bit more better. But hey, praise God. Thank you for tuning in today. I believe that the Lord has something special, especially if you're, you know, you find yourself listening in today or at a later time. And I wanted to say it's great to be back. You know, I know last week I wasn't able to do the podcast and, or, you know, or the live stream, but I thank God because no matter what, His time is always the right time. His season is always the right season. So, and I'm aware that people are traveling back and forth, especially for my wife and first lady. My first lady, in other words, she's over there currently right now. She is on her way back. And but hey, we thank God because, you know, for those of you who are tuning in. So I want to talk to you today about forgetting things which are behind and reaching for things that are ahead. The ability to forgive yourself, the ability to move past your failures, your struggles, whatever it may be, whatever it is that has gotten you to where you feel trapped. Maybe you feel like you did something when you were younger and you're just like, man, to this day, you still have issues with it. You're still like, man, I just don't know. I was dumb. I didn't do the right thing. I hurt people, or I, you know, and how can God forgive me? And, you know, all this stuff that we believe and that we seem to, you know, the devil tries to bring to our attention. But I want to start off by reading this, the book of, from the book of Philippians in the Bible, Philippians 3, verses 13 through 14. So again, it's the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. And you know what I'll do is I'll throw it in the chat here. So that way, for those of you who are following online right now, if you don't have your Bibles with you, then you can follow this as well. So I'll throw it actually in the Facebook, and it should show up on my stream. And again, so it's Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. And it says this, brethren, it says, I do not count myself to have apprehended. In other words, I've not considered myself. This is the apostle, the disciple toward the end of his ministry, his career. He says, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Here the disciple Paul is, he's encouraging the believers to keep moving forward in faith, because here's the thing, is that the enemy will always attack you with your past, what you've done. The enemy has nothing new, by the way. Satan has nothing new. All he ever has is just recycled craziness and garbage, all right? That's just what it is. He has recycled memories, recycled failures, recycled everything. He has nothing good. He has everything that is old, outdated information, nothing new. Why? Because you live in the current. You live in the present. So everything that you do is still continuing to being, still continuing to be written. And so Satan's job is to kind of keep you back. It's to keep you in a state of, well, you know, remember when you did this, remember when you did that, you remember about that. And, you know, you got stuck here and you did this and people, you know, you hurt somebody or you made a mistake and, you know, and you got to go back to that because people don't forget it. And so we get into this mode where we don't forgive ourselves. We don't move forward. We stay stuck because all we ever do is in that moment, we begin to see like, hey, you know what? We get discouraged, we get depressed, we get down, and all we continue to think about is how we didn't meet the standard that that we should have met, or so we think, right? The standard that man puts up that says, hey, you got to be a perfect person, and this is where you got to be. And that's where we begin to just realize that, you know, God isn't something that God isn't a God that expects you to be perfect because he knows you will never be perfect. But instead, he expects you to rely on him to be perfected through him. In other words, we are made perfect in him because we go to him and say, here is what we have. Here is our sins. Here is our failures. Here is what we've done, God. I'm giving them to you. You know them already, but I'm giving them to you. I'm surrendering them to you. And in that process of surrender is when God begins to perfect and strengthen you and encourage you. So, you know, as we read in these scriptures where the Apostle Paul is talking about, hey, I don't count myself to have apprehended this. In other words, he's saying, I still haven't gotten it. I still haven't gotten to the point where I'm satisfied. And he's had a very successful, if you would, ministerial evangelistic career at this point, you know, and he's at the end, but he's still saying, hey, I'm not completely done. There's so much more to do. And so one thing that Paul really emphasizes is forgetting the past. So I don't know who this is for out there, but I'm going to tell you right now, you have to learn to forget the past, especially for those of you who hold the past against others and you continue to hold it against the person and you continue to, maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's somebody who hurt you. And every time you see them, all you can think about is how they hurt you. All you can think about is how they did what they did to you and how they shouldn't be forgiven and God should not be forgiving them. You know, and that in itself is a form of unforgiveness. We have to forgive. And Paul is teaching us that we cannot let the failures, we cannot let our sins, we cannot let even the past achievements that we have accomplished. Some of us are already like, hey, man, we've accomplished this. We've done great. You know, and Paul is like, yeah, that's great. Go higher now. You know, press higher, press forward. Don't be content with what you just have already experienced. Don't be content with just what you've already gone through. He says, press into the presence of God. Press into the kingdom of heaven. So Paul was being very, very direct when he begins to speak about this. And he's encouraging people that we have to learn how to forgive. We have to learn how to forget. And so I wanted to start off with that, the scripture, and talk about that and continue building upon, hey, maybe you are in a situation where you did do something that everybody would look at you and say, man, you really messed up. Why did you do that? Why? You know, how could you continue? And then we even hear it from like people that have gone through some type of infidelity or some type of crazy rare forgiveness that people are like, wow, like how, I don't know how you could forgive that person. I wouldn't have forgiven that person. I don't know how I would have handled it, right? We hear that quite a bit from people that just don't understand what it is to have grace and forgiveness. Because here's the reality, we have grace and we have forgiveness, and God has given that to us. We didn't earn that, okay? That is something that has been given to us. He died on the cross for us so that we could have and enjoy that forgiveness. Why? Because he wanted us to continue to press forward, press into the presence of God. So, you know, I think about that scripture and what Paul was saying, and he's really saying, look, you're going to have to accept what you did. You're going to have to accept the failures in life, but you cannot stay there. Don't let Satan keep you planted there where all you think about is what you've done wrong. Now, if you continue to do wrong, then you have not truly repented, if I can be very honest with you on that. You have to repent. And to repent means to turn the other way, to turn around for good and say, no longer is this going to be something that I want, that I'm going to be doing. That is exactly what repentance means. But here is the thing. We tend to live in a society. We live in a society that doesn't preach repentance, a society that, a culture that has been built that says, hey, you know, you can keep doing what you want to do. You can keep being who you want to be and do what you want to do. And you don't have to forgive people and don't forget what they did to you and hold a grudge towards them. And on the contrary, though, God is completely different about that. God does not expect you to not forgive. He expects us to forgive. And forgiving others and forgiving one another is what he commands us in the Word of God. So we know that Paul is here speaking and he's saying, brethren, brothers, sisters, however you want to open that up, I do not count myself to have yet apprehended, but one thing I do, he says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Reaching forward is about growth and continuing forward with momentum. You have to grow in your walk with Christ. You have to grow in life. And the only way you grow is if you first, you know, you're going to have to run into some failures at times in life. You're going to do some things that aren't the best. You're not going to make the best decisions. And in the process of that, you don't make and you fail and you feel like you're a failure. And then you start encountering all kinds of what the devil brings. You see, we like to think that God brings this shame and God brings, you know, us to feel really horrible. God brings conviction, which is a holy conviction, which says if it doesn't align to the Word of God, then you're going to feel a certain way about it. It's going to hit you a certain way. And you're going to know that something's not right because it's not the truth. But the other type of conviction is an unhealthy one where it's a shameful one where you live in shame and it takes you down roads and paths that you never would want to go through. So what am I talking about today? Well, I'm talking about the power of understanding what it means to move forward, the power of growing in your life, but knowing how to forgive, knowing how to forget things that you have done in the past. And we all have sinned. As a matter of fact, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It doesn't say a few have sinned. It says, for all have sinned. We have all sinned. I don't care how religious you are. I don't care if you're a bishop. I don't care if you're a prophet. I don't care if you're a prophetess or you're a deaconess or a minister or a deacon or you're the Pope himself. Even the Pope himself sins every day because the Word of God is clear. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So what does that mean? If we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God, that means we need God's forgiveness. That means we need a Savior, someone that can save us, because no matter how good we think we are, I'm going to say that right now on this podcast here. No matter how good you think you are about, oh, I'm a good person. I take care of people. I give to people. I think I'm a good person. You can never be good enough to get your way to heaven. Come on. Let me just throw me something in the chat there if you're hearing what I'm saying. If you're picking up what I'm putting down kind of thing. You cannot be good enough within your own works to say, oh, I'm so good. I earned my way to God giving me mercy. I earned my way to heaven. You can't do that, because the only way we get there is through the cross, through what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. So here the Apostle Paul is indeed saying, hey, you got to forgive, you got to move forward, you got to forget those things which are behind, because everything that is holding you back is what's going to keep you burdened. It's going to hold you back. It's going to keep you in a situation where you never will grow forward. You'll never take a step forward is if you know that you can always go backward. So in business, there was one time, I'm going to say this because I thought about this right now. In business, there was this phrase that we used to use to help people understand what it is to move forward. And I want you to listen to me very carefully on this, because this can bless your life here. It's not a biblical principle. It's just a very well thought out, logical, you know, an example. And when you think about a car, I've used this before in my church, so they're going to hear it my members are here. I use this about a car. You know, I've used this example. Think about your car's front windshield window and your rear view mirror, the little small one. Okay. I want you to think about that. And I want you to consider when you look in that rear view mirror that, you know, looking backward, what is it about that rear view mirror that you're looking for? You're looking for what's back there, right? You're looking for potentially a blind spot, something that can come back up, something that can, something that's going to be somebody that's coming fast, or someone's not braking, or someone's not paying attention, or you just want to know what's back behind you. For some of you who are little fanatics, you know, you're like a little as skittish here, you're probably like, who's following me? Being a little bit more, you know, security minded. Maybe you're that person. Either way, it's a small, think about this. It's a small little mirror that's only showing you a limited portion, a limited view, a glimpse of what is behind you. But I would encourage you, if Paul was here, he would be saying this. He would be saying, but look at the front window. Look out your front windshield. If you look out your front windshield, how much more can you see by looking forward than you can see by looking backward? Oh, come on, somebody. You know, in my church, I say, you better get this. Well, you guys better get this this morning. I don't even know who's on, but I pray you're getting something. There is so much more to view. There is so much more to see when we look out the front windshield window than when we're looking back in a rearview mirror. What is that? What am I trying to get? Let me bring that back to what I'm talking about today here in the Word of God. I'm telling you that God has given you a future and He expects you to grow. The reason why you look in that rearview mirror of your past and what you've done is so that you don't get blindsided again or in any way of things that have been back there, that have been in the past, that you've already passed along the way. And it's only serves as a memory to help you look forward. It's only serving as a memory so that you can look out your front windshield window and be able to see what's in front of you, because what's in front of you is what's going to determine where you go. If you run into something in front of you, your journey stops right there. But if it's behind you, you've already passed that. You've already dealt with that. God has already brought you through it. But in the front windshield window view, you have the road ahead of you. You have the path ahead of you. You have others that are going to be ahead of you. And you're going to see everything because you have your focus going forward. And I'm here to tell you today, I'm here to encourage you through this podcast that we have to learn to look forward and not backward and not repeat some of the things that are in the rearview mirror. If you saw it in the back rearview mirror, it serves as a memory, and that memory should do its job to keep you from getting into that same thing. Once again, that's true repentance. Repentance says, no longer am I going to look to the back anymore and see what I've done and my failures. God has redeemed me. God has forgiven me. And I have His mercy. So now I'm looking forward. I'm growing from my past experiences, and I'm changing the way I'm going. Because to be fully repented means you're not going backward. Because if you don't repent, that means you turned around. You said, you know what? I went the wrong way. And you went through the median, you turned around, and now you're going backwards the way you went before. And you're going to run into the same stuff that you've already passed. But if you look through the front window, if you look through what God has given you, if you look through that future outlook of what God has blessed you with, you're going to start to see that God truly has so much more in store for you than what has been in the past. So are you getting this? Come on, throw it out there. You know, throw it out there in the chat. If you see it, you know, hey, call it out. Come on. That's right. Amen to that. So I pray that you're getting this, because it's coming from Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. All right. That's where we're reading out of. So we've been talking about this scripture, and I'm giving you a nice little metaphor, if you would, of the front windshield window. But let's go back to what Paul says here. He says, you know, I have not counted myself to have apprehended it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things ahead. He says, I press toward the goal, toward the goal of what God has, the prize, the upward call. He's continuing to reach forward, and he's continually pressing. If you can imagine a runner in the race, you know, he's already toward the end, and he's tired, and they're in those, you know, what do they call those relay races? And he's that last string, and he's going, and he's running, and he's almost done, but he's not done yet. And so when you begin to see it, you know, when you begin to see how and imagine how he's running the race to finish the race. He's not giving up. He's not looking back and saying, hey, who's behind me? Are they catching up? Because most of you who have run, you know, at one point in time or have seen the Olympics, if they look back, that's seconds that they're losing because they're looking back to see who's behind them. Normally, they'll glance back real quick right when they're like right there close to them, but they don't do that automatically. They look forward, and they're worried about is, I got to finish the race. I got to press toward this race. I got to go toward and complete what I've started, because my team is counting on me, because I need to finish the race. And for me, this runner, it's important that he finishes the race, because that's a part of what he set out to do. Well, the same thing applies to
our, you know, Jesus Christ, the same thing applies to our walk with Christ. We have to finish our race. Well, how do we finish our race? That means we keep running until our race is done. And when our race is done is when we can't breathe anymore, when we are literally in the arms of God. Then we know our race is completed. But until then, you have to press forward. So I'm talking to somebody out there that's been dealing with their past. I'm talking to somebody out there that's been dealing with forgiveness. And maybe you haven't forgiven people because you're holding this above them because they did this to you or they did something and they hurt you. And I never will say that what they did, if they hurt you, is right. But what I'm saying is if you allow yourself to be held back by your past, you'll never grow and move forward. I'll say that again. You'll never grow and move forward if all you can think about is what happened in the past and who hurt you. If you're one of those pity party people that I'm offended for every single thing that happens, every single word that's being mentioned. As a matter of fact, I'm offended now because Pastor's talking about this. You're the person I'm talking to. You're never going to grow in your walk. You're never going to grow in your relationship if you continue to hold on to the past. If you continue to let the enemy keep you backwards, not moving forward in the spirit of offense. So I pray you're getting that. Are you guys getting that? Throw it in the chat there. I'm going to drink a sip of coffee here. Throw it in the chat if you feel what I'm talking about. And I recognize that there are delays. So I know that it's like a 30-second delay. But this is something that the Lord had put in my spirit. And I had to learn how to do this myself. You know, I made some mistakes in life. I made some mistakes, and in my mistakes, I realized that I could stay there, and I could hold myself hostage to them, and allow the enemy to hold myself, you know, to hold me hostage, and I could do that. I could, and I would have not really grown anymore because I would have given up, or I could stay upon and thinking upon the Lord. I could have said, you know what? If God is merciful, like the Bible says He is, then He's able to forgive me. And God can do it, and God will forgive me, and God has done the forgiveness. And it was then that I realized that no matter what happened in my past, no matter what mistakes I made in life, it was never going to be to where it kept me from finishing my race, because I have a race to finish. You have a race to finish. Maybe some of you are young. I know I see my girls in here and my son, you know, they're very young. But they have a race to finish. We have a race to finish. We are placed on this earth, not because, oh, it's my body. It's my choice. It's my way of living. I want to do whatever I want. I don't care what the pastor says. You can don't care what I say all day, but you need to care what Jesus says and what He says in His word, because at the end of the day, you serve Christ, not me. And if I'm here giving you a word today and you're receiving it, praise God, because the blessing is for you. If I'm giving you this word and you're listening to it and you're not receiving, you're like, I don't like what He's saying. Well, then the blessing is not for you then at this point, because you're not receiving what the Lord has given us through this word. So I'm encouraging you, if you are held back by your past, if you're held back and you continue to go back to it and you continue to look at it and say, man, I'm ashamed. You know, yeah, we've all been there. We've all been ashamed of what we've done, you know, at some point in our lives. We're not happy of choices that we made that led us to those poor decisions and poor mistakes that we made, but we cannot stay there, because Satan's job is to keep you in the past, because he has nothing new. Like I said at the beginning, he has nothing new to give you. So everything in the past, everything that you've done, he's like, remember this, remember this, remember this. And you're like, you know, God has already dealt with that. That is under my feet. God has already forgiven me for that. Yeah, but remember this and remember how it felt. And I don't want to remember that because I'm not there anymore, Satan. And that's when you can tell Satan, get thee behind me the way Jesus did. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get thee behind me, Satan. You know, get him back, flee from, you know, let him flee from you. If you resist the devil, the word of God says he will flee. So resist the temptation, he will flee, it will flee. So, you know, that's something that I have lived by in my life, because, I mean, man, I'm not a perfect person in any way. And my wife and my kids would testify, you know, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I continue to, you know, struggle with different things in life, but I continue to press on. That's the difference. I don't let myself go down a path of discouragement and depression where I end up doing things that I never would have done before, you know, never. And that's something that is where it can take people. It takes them to the depressing moment. It takes them to the bottom of a bottle, you know, it takes them to that point of a intoxicative drink. Or maybe you're one of those ones that, you know, does drugs. You mess with drugs, or you take pills to kill and numb the pain. And maybe you're doing marijuana or something. I don't know what it is. That if you're out there and you're listening, maybe it is you that you step up to the drug and you're trying to bury something. You're trying to, you know, put something behind you, so you begin to substitute God's presence for, and you substitute it with drugs and or cocaine or whatever it is that might be out there. I mean, there's so many drugs. Fentanyl now is another big deal. You got all kinds of things. Some of y'all that are out there, maybe listening, you're struggling with some type of, just you have no way to go out, so you just start turning to self-destruct. You know, you start doing self-destructive things where you start thinking about hurting yourself, and you start thinking about doing things that would hurt you. And I can tell you right now, that is not God's plan for your life. No matter how bad it gets, you have to know that there is a God that loves you and that cares for you. And you might be thinking like, well, if God loved me and he cares for me, then why am I going through what I'm going through? And well, because that's the journey of life. That's the way, you know, we're in a cursed world. Cursed things are going to happen, but we are protected and we are shielded with Christ when we abide in Christ, when we follow his commands, when we obey what God desires us to obey. When we do that, then we understand that, hey, God is truly with us. If we are living out of the light and we are living in darkness, then that protection is not there at that moment, because we have forfeited to the Lord and said, hey, I don't need you to protect me. I'm my own person. I'm going to do whatever I want on my own. So, you know, just want to make sure you guys are catching this, but I'm going to pause for a moment and we're going to not pick up an offering. We are going to drop it in the chat. You know how it works. All right. You remember how it works. We're going to put in there coffee and Jesus for a chance to win a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, whatever you decide. I usually go with coffee. I will buy the gift card for you. I'll email it to you if you win. So you enter your name there. You drop it in the chat there. And I'm about to throw it in there. It says, drop coffee and Jesus in the chat. Throw it in there. And you get entered into a raffle to win. So, yeah, do that right now. Where's my sound engineer, Sister Tracy? How's the music on this one? Oh, are you okay? Yeah, throw it in your comments there. You know, this social media thing is weird because it tells me like there's people on, right? And then it goes down and then it goes up. And so it's always weird. It's like, it's weird because it doesn't really ever give you an actual snapshot of who's on. And then since I'm streaming to multiple social media platforms, you know, it doesn't really give an accurate picture. So I don't really know who's on, but I see your comments. So when you comment, I know you're following, which is awesome. All right. So thank you for your support this morning. I'm just showing some comments here. See, I can see all the people that are commenting. All right. Let's bring it back. Welcome back, everybody. So if you've been following me, you know that I'm talking about the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. And we've been speaking about that, you know, where Paul says, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus. You know, and I wanted to share something that God had given me right now to share. And it's a little, I'm going to tread lightly, because I don't want to really expose details. But there was a situation where I struggled with, something in my wife's past. So, and I won't go into detail because I don't want her to, feel ashamed in any way and let the enemy get that point. But there was so, there was always this one thing that just really about her past that I could never let go from the time I married her. And it was big to me. And all I, you know, there were times where I would just be okay. And then sometimes I would start thinking about that and make me mad. And it would cause me to be angry toward her for something of her past that I was kind of like, well, you know, in that moment, I felt like, oh, I was right to be upset. And, you know, I felt that it was, you know, okay for me to be the way I am and act a certain way towards her. But the Lord had to deal with me. The Lord had to really deal with me on this. And, you know, I had to surrender it one day to him and say, God, this is unhealthy. It's not healthy for me and for my marriage. And I don't want to be feeling this way with my wife because of something in her past that she had it was something way before we even met. And, you know, I struggled with that for a long time in our marriage. So my wife and I have been married 23 years. So praise God, it's been great. We've had some valleys, we've had some mountaintops, but God has kept us together and you know, he has been faithful in that. And I remember that there were times where throughout that marriage, I would deal with this thought of something that had, you know, something that was way before I even met my wife, and I would hold on to it and use it as fuel to either, you know, go do what I wanted to do in a way, or, you know, justify my actions for how I was acting. In other words, so I would act like that. And I remember that it, you know, that place because I never closed that door, it led me to things that I never would have done before. It led me to things that I never would have ever experienced had I just let God deal with that part of her past, part of not her, but let God deal with me regarding that part of the past. And I held on to it, and it bothered me for so long. And I remember that I went to the Lord one day and I said, I'm tired of this. Like, this isn't healthy. And as God kept revealing his word to me, it was like every thought needs to be taken obedient, you know, taken captive, make it obedient to Christ. And I'm like, well, God, here is this thought. Here is this thought. You know, I want to take this thought. I'm making it obedient to you. And I need you to help me deal with it. And so in the process of it, you know, of him dealing with me, I started to understand that I was not forgiving. I was, you know, it was ridiculous. It was something that I was holding on to, but I shouldn't, because God had already forgiven. God had already forgiven and dealt with that before my wife came to Christ. You know, it was already forgiven in the baptismal waters that she had. And I remember it was something that I kept, you know, holding on to. And I was like, man, I was definitely hurting with it. But I'll be honest with you, it led me to a place that I never thought I would ever be in my life, guys. And I'm being transparent with you because I believe this A Cup with Pastor is all about encouraging somebody, but talking about the word of God and also providing a way of God getting glory through a testimony. Had I closed that door and never let it, you know, had I just let God deal with it and closed that open door, I'm figured, you know, spiritually speaking, the open door is what we allow those thoughts to remain. And well, it drove me to a place in my marriage that I thought I never would have been in. And it drove me to that place. And it almost cost me everything. It almost cost me everything. And, you know, the fuel was, you know, the fuel that fueled everything that had happened in my life at that moment was that thought. It was the unforgiveness part. It was the me had not allowing me to look forward, but not forgetting what was in the past, holding on to things in the past, holding on to situations. And it took me to a place where I felt in my flesh that I was justified and self-justified to do what I wanted to do and, you know, to carry on and whatever it is that I, you know, so many things that I, over the time that I have done or did do, whatever the case may be, because it's in my past. But I closed that door and looked forward and just, you know, applied the scripture of reaching ahead, I would not have been in the place I found myself in that moment. And, you know, and I learned, and now, because God has delivered me from that, literally, and I mean delivered. I mean, like, yeah, you got to cast out some devils out of you sometimes. You know, you got to get it out. You got to get those things out of you. You know, it wasn't until I got that removed, that I renounced that and removed it, that my life began to change. And no longer does that open door thought ever come, you know, allow, I never allow it to sit there. Because the moment I feel it The moment I feel that, I take authority over it in the name of Jesus. And I always remind myself and that thought, because it's the enemy, I always say, you're no better. You're no better than that. So, and it puts me right back to the humility, right back to the humble place that I need to be at. Why do I share that with you? Because there are things that you may be holding on to, thoughts, situations, and you have not forgiven these people. And you've been holding on to, and you're that person that Paul says, you're looking backward. You're not forgetting those things that which are behind. Instead, you're holding on to those things because you feel you're justified in the way you feel. And that's how I felt in that moment. I felt like I was justified to do whatever I wanted to do because this over here equated to this, and I was completely wrong. I was completely wrong, and the Lord had to deal with me. And like I said, it almost cost me everything. But I'm so thankful to God that he was merciful. So you might be like, well, you're not any better. Oh, I've never been any better than anybody besides what God has seen me to be better. But I will tell you this, I uphold myself to a higher standard and I have repented. I have asked for God's mercy and grace, which he has given. So I don't sit there and wallow in my, oh, poor me kind of moment. And I don't expect you to be doing that, especially when I was offended at times. I don't sit there anymore. I have learned that staying out, and this is my family's going to know, I've been talking about this on my Tuesday night word encounters, you know, staying out of that spirit of offense, not allowing the spirit of offense to take root inside of you is where it truly is. You have to, what do I mean by that? You have to learn how to be comfortable with not being offended. Get over it. Let it go. Okay, you're offended. Okay, they said something. Okay, you got offended for the silliest thing. You didn't get an invite. Okay. Oh, well, like move on. Like you have to move on. Life is so much greater than that. You know, there are much more important things than to stay in that spirit of offense. But the spirit of offense is partners, and they go together with unforgiveness. Because then you start holding unforgiveness toward people, and then you don't fulfill what Paul was saying in Scripture, in Philippians 3. You're not fulfilling. You're not pressing forward. You're not reaching forward. You're not forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting those things that have already passed. You're holding on to it because you're like, no, I want to hold on to this little rock that I have here that I should have thrown a long time ago, and I want to hold on to it as much as I can, because if I don't hold on to it, then I feel like it was right what they did. No, it was never going to be right with the way you were treated or what was said to you. But you cannot hold yourself to that location, because then you don't move forward. Then you don't grow. Think about this. I want to challenge you guys all this in a good way. I want you to think about the last 10 years and ask yourself, have I really grown? And I'm not saying everybody's like this, because some of you, I've seen the growth in you. But I want you to think about that. For the last 10 years, examine your life. I'm going to allow you this one time to look back in your rearview mirror, a limited version of it. And I want you to think about, how did you grow? How have you grown? Are you the same person? Are you still dealing with the same stuff that you dealt with 10 years ago? Because I can guarantee you some of you are. You're still dealing with unforgiveness. You're still dealing with being offended. You live your whole life offended. You're always, you know, crying over something, crying over spilled milk, whatever it may be. I'm giving you some tough pastor love here to encourage you. But you're still there and you have not grown. And Paul was saying today, if he would have been here, he would have been like, you got to get out of that already. Move forward. In order for you to grow, you have to let it go. Let go of what happened in the past. If you did something, let it go. Ask God for forgiveness. Truly repent. What does repent mean? To turn the other way and don't go do it again. Stop doing it again. If you repent and you keep doing things over and over and over when you're with your buddies or when with your friends or whatever, then you're not really repented. You continue to fall back into the stuff that God brought you out of, and you continue to go back to it. If you truly have, you know, repented and you truly want to move forward, then you no longer are that person that stays in that moment. Maybe you step away when the temptation comes and you say, you know what? Hey, man, I'm not that guy anymore. I'm sorry. And they're going to give you a hard time. They're going to make you feel like whatever. But this is where you need to be a man or a woman and step up and say, you know what? A man of God or man of woman of God. And you need to be like, you know what? God has already taken care of this for me. I don't want to go back to that place. I know where that leads. Same thing with me. I'll give you, going back to my testimony, I don't ever want to be in that place that I was before. I don't ever want to let that thought even come back to where it takes me to a place where I'm vulnerable again, that I would, you know, go into something that I never would have done or wanted to do or be a part of something that I, you know, whatever it may be. I have to learn. I have to learn to keep moving forward, keep pressing forward. Yeah, I got your message, Sister Clarissa. Cool. You're at work listening. That's awesome. Thank you for your support. You know, we have to continue to move forward. And if I can encourage you this morning with anything, is that look at your past. Have you grown? And evaluate yourself. Where is your marriage? Where is your family friendships? Where is your relationships? Where are your relationships is what I meant to say. Where are you with your church? Are you still bouncing from church to church? You know, are you still, you know, every pastor offends you because they've given you the word, or your family offends you because they're not inviting you to places, or because they're telling you you're wrong, or you don't want to hear that you're wrong. And, or are you so legalistic and religious that all you ever see is the legalistic side of things? All you ever see is religion. All you ever see is what people are doing, their faults. Well, you're the problem. You have to move forward. Press forward. Get out of that. You know, don't let Satan keep you there, because there is so much more on that front windshield window that you're going to look out of, and you're going to be like, man, this whole time I've been looking in the back mirror when I have all of this, you know, room to look forward to seeing what God has in my life. If you can get past the point of your past and forgive, then you'll move forward into the press toward the mark moment that Paul encountered, where he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The prize toward the goal. The prize is eternal life. It's the reward of hearing when we get to heaven, well done from the Lord, that well done, faithful servant, that upward call to Christ, you know. And when I tell you that we're not there, we're still working it. I'm still working it. You have to know that we're human. We're still going to go through things. We're still going to struggle. But refuse to look in that mirror. Refuse to look in that rearview mirror, with the exception of you only look to see, how can I get better? How can I avoid going through what I went through before? How do I learn from my mistakes? How do I learn, you know, to move forward in life when, you know, I've been, for so long, I've been a slave or a prisoner to my past. Because that's what Satan does. He gets you back there and he puts some shackles on your feet and he keeps you down and he keeps you in your past. So you never look forward anymore, because all you're so worried about is what you're in bondage and what's going on. But Jesus Christ has the power to release and deliver you from that. And I want you to be encouraged today that no matter what it is that you've been struggling with, no matter what it is that, you know, maybe you're like me, maybe you deal with things that your spouse or a girl or a guy or whatever, a friend of yours that they've done, and you hold on to that forever. And you just like, no. Like, I need my rock to be right here next to me, because I need to pick it up and remember what they did to me. So it feels, I know how heavy it can be. And no, let it go. Throw the rock behind you. Move forward. God wants you to move forward. He expects his body to be united, not be divided. And many times, many people in the body of Christ, sadly, they're all hurt and offended. You know, they're all bothered with something. You know, they get mad at the pastor because the pastor's preaching a word from the word of God. It's like, you don't need to be mad. You just need to apply that, because your pride is what's manifesting in that moment. If you don't like what I'm saying to you today, your pride is manifesting, the spirit of pride. It's like, I don't want to receive this. This is not for me, and this is for somebody else. No, this is for you. This is for you. It's for me. It's for all of us. But we have to understand something, that we can not be held back no longer by our past mistakes, our shame, because that's where the devil brings shame, condemnation, where we feel we can't move forward anymore because we're not worthy enough. That's another thing too. Satan loves to hit us with, we're not worthy enough. Well, we're never going to be worthy enough, but through Christ, he is worthy. He is worthy. And through him, we are worthy because of him, because of his blood, because of what he did. So when you say, Jonathan, you're not worthy to receive forgiveness, I would say, amen, I'm not. But you know what? God is worthy. Our God is worthy. And because he is worthy and he has bestowed that upon me to have that ability to plug in and reach out and grab him and say, Lord, I need your mercy, and he gives it, that makes me worthy of the cause. Worthy because he is worthy. Forgiven because he has forgiven. The ability to have mercy because he has given me mercy. The ability for me to move forward because he has brought me forward. You're getting this, right? You're understanding what I'm saying. Everything revolves around our God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It revolves around him. Nothing is because of us. We are everything because of him. And when you begin to reach forward, you remember that we need to hold on. We need to cling on to Christ. We need to move forward to Christ. We need to get forward, get past our insecurities. And if I can be honest, many times we're offended because we're insecure about ourselves. So we're bothered that somebody else told us we shouldn't be doing something when we know it's the wrong thing to do. But because somebody told us, we want to lash back out. No, you need to apply that, you know, same principle, as feisty as you are about, I'm going to tell them how it is and tell yourself how it is. Talk to yourself and let God deal with that spirit of pride that's keeping you from receiving your breakthrough. Because I'm telling you right now, if you continue to hold on to things that have been in your past or in your family's past or whatever it is, you're never going to grow. But I will tell you as a testimony, when you learn to just live in the forgiveness and the mercy world, goodness gracious, man, my God, he is so worthy that you will begin to feel like you can breathe. And yeah, when people come around and try to offend you or they make comments, you kind of like chuckle at that point. You're kind of laughing like, really? Like, man, you're still there. Like, you know, you're still thinking about that. You're still holding on to that. Like, it's amazing. And I tell you from experience, guys, I don't tell you because I'm perfect, but I tell you that God has dealt with my family and I, my immediate family, my core, with us. Ask any one of them how God has dealt with the forgiveness portion of it. We have really, really, you know, learned how to move forward in forgiveness and not stay in offense, because God has told us very clear, stay out of offense. And now we begin to recognize it. So when we see or we hear that people are bothered, I mean, let me give you a quick example. Somebody might just get bothered because I didn't pull the seat. We go out to eat or something. I'm giving you just a random rare example of how silly it is. We go out to eat. I don't pull the seat out for that person, but I pull the seat out for the other person on the right. All of a sudden they're bothered. They're bothered because I didn't pull the seat out for them. Like, that's how silly Satan has the church sometimes, has the body of Christ, where, oh, he didn't do it for me, but he did it for him. He must not like me, and blah, 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 boo-hoo. You know, cry in your corner and go weep. Get out of that corner. Get out, guys. I'm encouraging you. I'm challenging you to step out. Get into the forgiveness mode, where the moment you're offended, you know what? It doesn't matter. I forgive them. You know, if they hurt something, it's physical harm, that's a different story. I'm not saying I'm not saying you cannot forgive. You got to forgive them still, but that's going to take some healing, and that's going to take some time with God. And you're also going to have to be aware that, you know, you can't let that happen. My cousin's saying, I was offended you didn't pull out my seat when I was there, bro. He said, no, I'm just messing. It's funny. God bless him. He's watching from California. It's silly, and we laugh at these things, and you're like, really? But yes. Yeah. Because an offensive spirit will always be offended by the ridiculous things, just so that they can feel a sense of pride to hold on to, that I deserve to feel this way because of this, this, and that. But when you step and you press forward and you move toward that mark that God has called you, you'll begin to walk in the true freedom. And true freedom means that you're going to encounter different things along the way, but you cannot stay there. Don't let him hold you back, you know, from what God has for you. So I pray that, you know, you're receiving something today. This isn't just for one person in particular. I don't really know, besides your comments, who's watching, but either way, it doesn't matter if you're listening now or later. You know, it's important that we press toward and we go forward toward the mark. You know, get out of that old way of thinking. If somebody did something, let it go. Forgive them. And if you're not ready to tell them you forgive them yet, you got to go to God first and say, Lord, I do forgive them. Help me have the forgiveness even more and greater and the love to be able to tell them that I forgive them, even though my flesh says no right now. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you reach out to God and say, rewire this way of thinking. Rewire this program the way that man has created inside of me, that spirit of pride and spirit of unforgiveness, and rewire it, Lord, to allow me to forgive and allow me to be humble with humility the way you say your kingdom is all about. In God's kingdom, it's the humble people, those that have humility, that are the true servants. Those are the people that inherit the kingdom of heaven in the order first. The prideful ones are in the very back because they're prideful. So, yep, I'm going to say it for the people in the back. Don't be prideful. Anyways, all right, we're coming up on the end of this here. So I pray that if you have been listening, you're blessed. You know, I try to keep these conversations relevant. I try to put, you know, some everyday things that we struggle with, things that I've struggled with. And as you know, and I've tried to also share my testimony here and there, and allow others to share their testimonies, because I believe that through your testimony, and if people can see what God is doing in you, if they're going to be convinced that, hey, whoever that God is that he serves, yeah, he's real because I've never seen this guy like this before, or I've never seen God do something so different, or I've never seen somebody forgive somebody in a sense where they took away somebody from them and they went and forgave them 100% and no reservation to forgiveness. That's a real God. Whoever that God is, that's the God I want to serve. That's what people are going to say. They're going to start realizing that because they see the change in you, because you are no longer looking backward, but you're looking forward. All right. So will you join me in prayer? Why don't you just, you know, close your eyes right there for those of you who are not driving, and let's just pray. I'm going to pray a special prayer. Lord, I pray that every listener, that every viewer, God, that you would bless them, Lord Jesus. I pray that in your mighty name, that you would step in and show them, God, what you have shown me. Show them the forgiveness, God. Show them everything that you have instilled, Lord, in your word. God. Show them how to press forward, not rely on their own understanding, not stay in the past, not stay offended, and allow the devil to keep them in the spirit of offense, but that they would move forward, God, from being offended, that they would forgive, God, and have mercy, Lord, so that they can look out that front windshield window, God. I pray for the listeners, for the viewers, the non-believers that are out there that have not yet believed. I pray for them, God, that they would receive this word today and begin to see that you have so much more for them in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray, God, that you would just bless this podcast, this live stream, whenever someone's listening to it, that you would allow your spirit to always deliver the word as you have declared, God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Hey, well, I just want to say thank you for tuning in to A Cup with Pastor. I do try to do this every Saturday unless life comes around and has other plans and I have to do something. But we start at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. And I pray that you bring your cup of coffee, whatever it is, cup of drink, coffee, whatever you're drinking. And I pray that you are blessed by today. Remember, the word is only as good as if you apply it. You got to apply it. You can't just be a hearer. The word of God says, don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer. In other words, apply the word of God. God bless y'all. Thanks for tuning in.